Today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 34. Okay? Like this? Hare Krishna. Okay. Ihaja santam atmanam vidamanatatak param Yeneyam nirmita vira Purisharanam atmanaha. So we remember that Puranjan, who wants to recall what's going on now so far in this section of the Bhagavatam? It's been a couple of days. Can anybody dredge the memory to remember something? What's the main... Pardon me?
Puranjana means the woman.
Right. And what is he doing? What is he saying to... What is he asking
her?
Right. But besides that, he asked her many questions. He was curious about who her father was, where she came from. He was asking her who this. There was a snake accompanying her, a big snake, many attendants. And now she's beginning to try. She's answering these questions, though. She doesn't have a lot of great answers to tell him.
But the woman is representing the intelligence.
Yeah, also. Yeah. Allegorically, she's representing the intelligence. But as we'll see, her intelligence is not. At this point, the intelligence is not so highly developed because she tells him, "Oh, great hero, we only know that we are existing in this place. We do not know what will come after. Indeed, we are so foolish that we do not care to understand who has created this beautiful place for our residence." So he's asking her these questions, and she doesn't know the answers. And she says she's so foolish, she doesn't even care. Which represents the intelligent, materially bewildered intelligence. So please repeat.
O great hero.
We only know that we are existing in this place.
We
do not know what will come after. Indeed, we are so foolish that we do not care to understand who has created this beautiful place for our residence. Prabhupada says, this lack of Krishna consciousness is called ignorance. Avidya, ignorance, yes. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.5, it is called parabhavastavid abhodhajata. Everyone is born ignorant. The Bhagavatam therefore says that we are all born ignorant within this material world. In our ignorance we may create nationalism, philanthropy, internationalism, science, philosophy, and so many other things. The basic principle behind all these is ignorance. What then is the value of all this advancement of knowledge if the basic principle is ignorance? Unless a person comes to Krishna consciousness, all his activities are defeated. This human form of life is specially meant to dissipate ignorance. But without understanding how to dissipate ignorance, people are planning and building many things. After death, however, all this is finished. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmulitam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavehyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. As a child, I intuitively felt that, and I was appalled by the idea that people didn't care what happened to them after they died. Did any of you have that experience? You heard about death and you were told that... Yeah. Did you remember that and being kind of disturbed? Yeah, nobody would tell us the answers. And that was scary. That was quite scary because... So that... And this is... Prabhupada says that this is because this human form of life is especially meant to dissipate ignorance. So... But Prabhupada also mentions that people don't know what to do. And because we don't know what to do, we willfully and foolishly embrace ignorance. And this is demonstrated by the lady in this story. So because we don't know, and modern society specifically doesn't know, Prabhupada said the main problem with modern society is that we think that this spot life is everything. This one life, which is only... Yes, dear? Yes. That this one life is everything. Better? Okay? Hare Krishna. That this one life is everything. And so this foolishness is encouraged in the modern age, and that's very unfortunate. But we're very, very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada so mercifully reminds us of what Lord Rishabhadev says in this text. In this regard, he tells us, he quotes a verse from Lord Rishabhadev, who gave many instructions, very beautiful instructions, to his sons. That's in chapter 5. We'll be coming across it. Parabhavastavara bodha jato yavanna jigjasa cha atma tattvam yavat kriyastavaridam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subject to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruit of activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in fruit of activity, he has to accept a material body. So how many of us feel that we're freed from this fruit of activity, this desire to enjoy the results of our actions? Sometimes as devotees we think, oh, I'm doing everything for Krishna, but if we look a little deeper, we might wonder about that. Anyway, Krishna is very merciful. He lets us feel it when we're going off track, when we're going too far off track. He lets us get away with small self-centered pleasures, but not for long. I mean, we have a body, we have to take care of it, and sometimes we get some feeling that we're enjoying something in this body, but gradually we realize, especially as we get older. So this continuation of birth and death is the result of willful ignorance. And this willful ignorance is based on the notion, the false, proud notion that I'm the enjoyer. This woman, she's intoxicated because this Paranjana is telling her how beautiful she is, and she's also becoming attracted to him. So she admits that she's foolish, but she's not looking like she's going to do anything about it. She wants to enjoy with King Paranjana. In this regard, remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us 20 items of knowledge. Who remembers something? What is the first item of knowledge? Huh? Yes, that's the first. Because if you don't have a little bit of humility, you can't get any knowledge because you think you know everything already. So who can instruct you? And what is the most important item of knowledge? Prabhupada says in that purport to that verse. Inquiring? Even more important, that's one of the steps of knowledge that leads to the most importance of knowledge. Yeah, the most important item of knowledge is constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Exactly. And what is the most important means of acquiring this knowledge? That's mentioned in one of the 20 as one of the 20 items of knowledge. Huh? What is the most important item of knowledge that leads us to this most important item of knowledge? Prabhupada said that because people don't know, so what do they have to do? People don't know they're in ignorance, huh? Pardon me, yes. They have to approach a bona fide spiritual master, huh? Heeding? Hearing, yes. Hearing from, but not only hearing, but hearing from the right source. So a bona fide spiritual master is essential for us to become free from this ignorance. And so Krishna gives all these lists of items, tells us what the most, Prabhupada tells us in the purport what the most important one is, what the first one is, what the most important one is, and what the most important means of achieving it is. But Krishna also says, all these items of knowledge I declare these to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So you can see, Prabhupada said at one point that the scriptures that we have are the most consistent and voluminous knowledge about spiritual life, and they all agree on major points. And because we don't have this knowledge, everything and everything else is ignorance, then Prabhupada says that in our ignorance we may create nationalism, philanthropy, internationalism, science, philosophy, and so many other things. The basic principle behind these is ignorance. And what is the value of this advancement of knowledge if the basic principle is ignorance? Unless a person comes to Krishna consciousness, all of his activities are defeated. So we also are feeling the effects of this ignorance. We depend so much on the modern way of taking care of our basic needs. We see now there's been a new heating system installed, and we're kind of dependent on that it works. If it doesn't work, then we feel very inconvenienced. But so this is modern life. It creates so many so-called conveniences, but ultimately we can't depend on them. That's why Prabhupada also was very much preaching plain living and high thinking. But on the other hand, we can consider the recent departure of our community member for many years, Lala Samai Devi Dasi. We'll be hearing more about this. We'll be having a ceremony, a memorial ceremony in the next few days. But it is quite evident that she knew, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, that this human form of life is especially meant to dissipate ignorance. And in her own simple way, she did everything she could to apply this knowledge and also to distribute it. When she first came to the movement, for many years she was going out and doing everything to support the temple and also to give out as many books as possible. She joined when she was almost 60. And she got Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. She read it. She came to check it out. And she never left. She came to check out Radhadesh. She never left. And yesterday we could see that Krishna made so many arrangements for her, in her life, and throughout her devotional service. And she never deviated from the principles of Krishna consciousness. If you look in her house, you don't see anything of Maya there. There's no Maya books. There's no Maya anything. It's all Prabhupada, Krishna, her Guru Maharaj. And she was, you know, although her health was failing her, and in the end, she had to, in the last few years of her life, she had to slow down as far as her attending the programs and everything was concerned. She was very simple in her approach to Krishna consciousness. And so in the last few weeks of her life, the devotees were taking very nice care of her by Krishna's causeless mercy on her. And in the evening of her departure, there was no plan because it wasn't exactly sure when she would leave. But it just so happened that next door, many devotees were there. Many devotees were, and some of our best kirtaniers were there. So they got the call to come that she's going to leave. And they all came over and they had kirtan there until 4:30 in the morning. It's so glorious. It's very interesting that it was our younger generation and our older generation were together. It was very, very glorious. And also there were many indications which we will be hearing from the devotees who were at her, with her at the end, about how she was very Krishna conscious. So from her example, we can see that her life and her death was more successful than that of any politician or any philanthropist or philosopher or scientist. Prabhupada concludes his purport today by saying that without understanding how to dissipate ignorance, people are planning and building many things. After death, however, all this is finished. But we know for Lalasa Mayi that what's finished is that she won't have to be in this material world again. She doesn't have to suffer repeated birth and death, or the illusion that that accompanies it. And let's try to learn from her example, and in our own capacity, try to practice and preach Krishna consciousness so that we can be benefited, and others, so they can attain the real knowledge and meaning of life. So thank you for listening patiently. If anybody would like to make a comment or a question, correction. Pardon me? Can you say it a little more slowly or a little more clearly, because I can't quite...
Krishna says about
Goloka Vrindavan.
About what? About what?
About Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah. I defy, you live there also me. Can you explain more?
In Goloka Vrindavan, I give light, he said.
He said, I illuminate this planet.
Yes.
Who live there also. Like,
is also illuminated. Everybody becomes... Whoever comes to the spiritual world belongs to him, is that what you're saying? I mean everyone actually belongs to Krishna. So, but of course, those who live in the spiritual world, they have a special... the question is concerning the idea that those who belong in the spiritual world, Krishna says they belong to him. I mean, it's a little vague, because if you don't give me an exact quote, I can't really... But of course, we know that in the spiritual world, devotees there have a very intimate relationship with Krishna. I do remember a place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, but those who render service unto me are in me, are a friend, and I'm a friend to them. That's what I do remember. That's what comes to my mind when you say this. So, all I can say is that those who render service to Krishna and who are very much, they become very dear to Krishna. Everyone is dear to Krishna, but those who, it's very natural that those who render service to someone become especially dear. Sometimes people think that Krishna is partial because he loves his devotees so much. But Krishna says, this is not partiality, it's natural. Krishna says, I'm not partial. But a special feature of Krishna, the very special feature of Krishna, is that he especially loves his devotees. And he makes very special arrangement for his devotees. Who are you looking for? Rick? That's all I can say, Prabhuji. That's all I... Maybe someone else has a comment on that. Jaitanyagaur, did you want to say something?
Spiritual.
something like that. He's like always living in the now. So if we fix on Krishna, then we attain the consciousness and the level of the now.
Yeah, so yeah, actually,
The other day we were talking and I saw a picture of Krishna Varaha. I said Krishna Varaha from God. And then the person on that picture said, oh, these are from Paris. Said, no, Krishna Varaha. Always living in the now. They're never living in Paris. They appear in Paris, but they live in the now. They reside in it. And we focus on Krishna Varaha, and then we also reside in the now.
You remind me of a statement Prabhupada made, because in California everything is called Santa Fe, Santa Monica. So Prabhupada, he was giving a lecture, and it was in Santa Monica. He goes, we are not in this Monica or that Monica. We are in Vaikuntha. So it's true. If we're in the right consciousness, and that's, thank you for bringing that up, because I also wanted to mention that what was very encouraging about Lala Samayi's passing away was that she was surrounded by Vaishnavas. So if we can keep ourselves in the company of Vaishnavas, there's a great many, many special chances and opportunities. Papa said, don't be disappointed, don't go away. He wanted the devotees to stay because he knew the value of staying in the association of devotees. He knew that alone we couldn't do anything. We need each other. Thank you. So that makes it less far away than the spiritual world. Yes, Rupanjari? Very nice. There's a verse that says that, and it says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shravanadi Sudachiti. I don't know the whole thing. Udoy. He says that Krishna consciousness is present in the heart of every living entity. It's not something to be artificially imposed upon the soul, and it's awakened by the bona fide process of hearing and chanting the Lord's glories. So it's true. We should be careful. Although we have to distinguish in our lower levels of Krishna consciousness, we do distinguish for the purpose of our developing spiritual advancement. We do distinguish between devotees, non-devotees, the innocent, and of course the Lord. But as we advance, we begin to see that Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. It's a very advanced stage. Like, for instance, Judd Bharat. Judd Bharat was going to be killed by dacoits. He was so Krishna conscious, he wasn't aware that they were going to kill him. But the goddess to whom they wanted to offer his dead body was very aware she's Krishna's energy. So she jumped out of the deity and she killed the demons who were trying to kill Judd Bharat. So the devotee is always protected by the Lord. And the Lord is, at the same time, it's not that devotees consider themselves special. They know that Krishna is special and they want to extend his mercy to others. Preaching Mujaris are a very good example of one who's always trying to help others to become Krishna conscious. Any more points or comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
And if you mention partiality of Krishna, Krishna is not complete, right? And in material world, he is impartial in a particular way. And when devotee surrenders, then whoever surrenders, he rewards him.
He what?
He rewards him.
Yayatamam Prabhupada.
So he is impartial in two ways. Those want to be his friends,
yeah.
You are my friend. Yeah. Then he rewards them accordingly.
Good point.
And yeah. He wouldn't have a choice. It's not that he chooses, oh, he surrendered and I'm rewarding him. Oh, he also surrendered, but I won't. That doesn't happen.
Right, right.
That's one aspect of his impartiality.
Yeah. Yeah, the other aspect is those who don't want to surrender to him, he lets them go their own way, and he provides everything for them, yeah. I'm sure there's many aspects to his impartiality, but those are probably the two predominating ones. That's the point. No one can blame Krishna because they get some reactions. That's because Prabhupada mentions that also. People blame God because of suffering in the world. But it's not like that. Krishna's impartial. He's letting you go your own way, but you have to take the risk. You have to pay the price. And hopefully, by repeated suffering, gradually, and of course, Prabhupada says in one purport that if one is, one may suffer repeated miseries in this world, jada diya. But we're so dull, he said, that unless we get the mercy of a spiritual master, we can't get out. We just forget. So how grateful we have to be, because there's no way out of this world without the mercy of a spiritual master. And any tradition realizes this in its essence, that without the mercy of God and his representatives, no one can become free from the idea that, or the compulsive idea that I'm the enjoyer. It's the nature of this world, it's set up like that. But what Rabindra Swoop said, it's the default mode of the material world. But we don't have to become discouraged. We simply have to. We can look at the example of Lala Samai Devi Dasi and others and pray that we can, in some capacity, follow in their footsteps. Thank you very much. We'll end now. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.